Good morning, everyone. This morning I'll be reading from 1 Peter 3, 8 to 16. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see God are good days, must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil to do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
I want to start off today and I'm going to share my testimony, briefly, a version of it. So how did I come to follow Jesus? How is it that I'm standing here today as a professed believer in Jesus, who I never met personally in the flesh right there, and yet would decide to give my life to serving him? One of the key people that played a role in my faith journey, in particular in the early days, was my grandma, my dad's mum. She was someone who I was very close to. I spent a lot of time with. I used to love going around to her place. And then once I moved to Albany, she would come down in the school holidays to pick me up, to bring me back to Perth, to spend time with her, to go back down to Albany. I had a really kind of simple faith when I was really little. I decided to follow Jesus when I was 7, and I got baptized when I was 8. And a large part of why that happened was actually because of my relationship with my grandma. There was a very simple logic to it. Grandma loved me. Grandma loved God. So therefore, God loved me, and I could love God. Okay, don't get too much into the theology of that, because you're like, hang on a second, what's the correlation there? This is what 7-year-old James experienced. Because of my grandma's love for me and the obvious nature of her love for God, I had a sense that God loved me and that I could love God. Another key person in my faith journey is sitting in this room today, and that's my dad. Now, one of the things that was very clear about my dad's faith as I grew up is that faith is not passive. Faith isn't just something that you believe. It's not just something that you think about. Faith is active. And my dad was always heavily involved in whatever church we're involved in. He served as a deacon. He often did communion. He led worship. He was involved in lots of different ways. But he was also active in his faith at work. I remember when we moved to Albany and he started working in a strawberry farm. Strawberry farms have a short season. They don't run all year. So you kind of have to cram a year's worth of work into a short period of time. And it wasn't uncommon for my dad to be working sort of 14 to 16 hour days, folding boxes, because he made the boxes up to get put things in so the strawberries could go off to the shops. I remember going there after school sometimes, and we'd go help a bit so we could actually come home before it was too late. But I'd hear stories of all the different things that went on and the way that he was able to express his faith. And we always made it to church on Sunday. It's only now that I'm a dad and I sort of look out and I go, he must have been exhausted. He must have been so tired. But Sundays and gathering with the Lord's people was an essential part of what it meant to follow Jesus. And so I learned from my dad, faith is active. It's not passive. And then the third person who had a really significant role in my faith development was the pastor of Subiaco Church at the time. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, he has gone to be with the Lord, so that's really good for him. not so good for us. He was a wholehearted follower, and that was the big catch cry of his ministry at Subiaco Church. Don't be a half-hearted follower. Don't be a quarter-hearted follower. Be a wholehearted follower, 24/7. And he was a wholehearted pastor. He was a strong leader. He was very opinionated. Not everybody got along with him. But he also just had the warmest countenance and heart. In fact, one of the main reasons I moved back to Perth, so I went through a real faith sort of challenge towards my late teenage years. I went through a life challenge. I had lots of different difficulties that went on in my life at the time. I lost my friendship group because I wasn't cool enough, and I loved sport, but I really wasn't good at it, so that didn't do well for me, and I was bullied, and all kinds of challenges that happened to me in high school. And I remembered Subiaco Church, and so when I finished uni, or sorry, when I finished high school, I decided to go to uni not really knowing what I wanted to do. I just wanted to get back to Subiaco Church because I knew that Graham would have an impact on my life. And it was once I got to Subiaco, it wasn't Graham himself, but one of the people who worked for him, who asked me the question, have you ever thought about Bible college? I hadn't, and the rest is history. And through Graham's leadership, he was the one who baptized me when I was 8, a very significant moment in my life. Through his ministry, I learned to be wholehearted in my following of Jesus, to give my all in everything that I do. So I am following Jesus today in no small part because of these three people. And they're not the only people in my story, but they're three of the most significant. My grandma, who in those early years instilled in me that she loved God and she loved me and therefore God could love me. My dad, who instilled in me that faith is active, not passive. And Graham Johnson instilled in me to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus. We're coming to the end of our series today looking at bless. This is one of the things that we want to be at the bedrock of who we are as a church. So B, begin with prayer. L, listen without judgment. E is eat together. That was a really good week. We enjoyed that one. S was serve together. And last week we had our Sunday service, or serving on Sunday, our engaged day. And I hope that you enjoyed and got engaged and got connected somewhere. I came along and moved 2 loads of mulch, and that was about all I could handle. But that's okay. We're still getting through that whole COVID lethargy that goes on. And so today we come to the final S. And this is one of the things that's really important when we think about helping people come to know Jesus. It's not always about racing to share your story. And in fact, there is actually a very deliberate order to the BLESS acronym. That in many ways, you actually need to earn the right from other people to be able to share what's going on in your life. Now, they come and ask you, you know, don't go, you know, I just need to begin with prayer first, and then I need to listen to you for a while, and then we're going to go eat, and then I can... No, that's not what I'm saying. But actually, as a way of thinking about how am I going to do this, right, there is actually a bit of an order that helps to it. But when you get to the place where you've got someone who is actually interested in hearing about your story, what does that look like? Now, what is your story? You might go, actually, there's so many different things I've heard of about what this is. What is a testimony? Is it about Jesus? Is it about something else? Well, here at Austin Cove, we've called these faith stories. And it's actually really quite simple. I believe that our faith story is simply how and when. So there's an action and there's a timing to it. God has been and continues to be involved in our life. So as a church, we talk about looking for faith stories and being able to share with people. So part of that is, how did you come to know Jesus? But not only that, it's how has Jesus been present in your parenting? How has Jesus been present with you when you've gone through those dark valleys? How has Jesus been present with you when you've gone through those triumphant victories? And how might you be able to share those stories with people who might be interested in knowing who is this Jesus? So I'd love you to turn with me. We're going to plonk ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 3. Which we had read out for us before, we're going to jump on down to verse 15. So we're going to start there in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Let's pause. This is the heart of a faith story. Christ is Lord. And being able to express to someone why this is so important. If you go right back to the very beginning and what happened in the fall, what happened in the fall is Adam and Eve were given an opportunity. They could either allow God to be the Lord in their life, or they could choose to be the Lord of their life. And they chose to go in that direction. They chose to say, actually, I don't want to listen to God. I've got a better idea. This is what I'm going to do. So a large part of the redemption story, a large part of what it actually means to come to understand what it means to know and follow Jesus, is to get back to that place where we're able to say that Jesus is Lord. And one of the hardest things for someone who's exploring faith to navigate in this space is to actually make that choice. Because it's really easy to make Jesus Lord of your life when what he says to do is exactly what you want to do. But the thing that makes Jesus as Lord difficult is that's not always what our experience is like. In fact, that's why it's a challenge. It wouldn't be difficult if everything we wanted to do lined up with what God wanted us to do. We should expect that there will be times when we are very sure that this is what we want to do. But that pesky word of God, that pesky spirit, that pesky voice that's there speaking on behalf of Jesus is saying, yeah, that's not what I want for you. So one of the first and most challenging steps is to help someone understand that part of following Jesus is ceding our own lordship and saying, actually, yeah, I choose to follow Jesus even when it's not what I want. In fact, especially when it's not what I want. And learning to put Jesus as Lord at the very heart of your life is a really big witness to those who might be exploring and going, I know you don't do that, but you did that. Like, I know you don't think that way, but you did that. Why? Well, it's because I know it's what God wanted. I know that Jesus as Lord would call me to this action. The next part of the verse says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. There's a really key principle here. Preparation simply requires intention. Being prepared, you don't need to know when it's going to happen. You can be prepared without knowing exactly when that might happen. It just requires you to actually intentionally go, actually, if someone was to come and ask me why I follow Jesus, what would I say? Don't wait for that moment when you're like, oh no. Actually being prepared is something you can do. You can do it now. I'm actually not going to be upset if you zone out and start to think about your story and what you might share. Because it means you're getting prepared. You're getting ready. And so Peter's encouraging them here. Be prepared. You may not know when this will come, but make sure that you're ready. And there's another key verse here, which, again, there's a whole lot of other things we can get into, but I still think it's a very important one. To people who ask. That doesn't mean we can't go out and share in other ways. It doesn't mean we can't go and share with people in different contexts. But the vast majority of the time when we see it throughout Scripture, we see people going. Now, they might be sharing to a general group. That's different. But sharing in that one-on-one context, it generally tends to be that someone's actually interested in knowing more about what's going on in their life. So being prepared, when that friend of yours sees you acting differently and sees things going on, and they come and say, all right, what's going on? You're ready to share with them about your story. The next verse is this: to give a reason for the hope. When someone asks you to give a reason for the hope, you have a reason for believing what you believe. You have things that have happened in your life that led you to the point where you said, all right, God, I'm going to follow you. And you might have had reasons since then. You might have had things that have just confirmed for you, that have helped you as you've gone along to go, you know what, God? I've run from you. I've tried to not follow you, but I just know that you are real and I need to follow you. This might be some people. I shared with you before, three significant people that because of my relationship with them, I have a reason for hope. That there was something about my relationship with them that's given me a reason to believe that Jesus is true. Maybe you've got some places. Maybe you grew up going to a church, or maybe you grew up going to a particular camp, or maybe there's like a house that had a particular impact in your life, or maybe it's just a place that you visit from time to time. Maybe there's a nature walk, or there's something that you do. There's a place that you go to, or there's a place in your story that plays a significant role in why you have hope. Maybe there's an event, maybe there's a rally that you went to, or a youth group event, or a church event, or something that happened, that you went to that event and something happened, and you don't quite know how to describe it, you don't quite know what it was, but you know that that event changed your life. And then for many, it's unfortunate to some degree, but I also think it's true. For many of you, it's a pain point. You went through a valley. You went through a darkness. You went through something that hurt right down deep. But somehow in and through that season, you found Jesus. That somehow he met you in that place of pain. And he drew you either to him for the first time or back to him. And these things might actually be the bedrock of how you might share your story. But you've got a reason for your hope. Know what that reason is. Dig in and mine for why do I believe what I believe. Then it says that you have. This is your story. God gave you your story. You don't need to ham it up. You don't need to make it sound, I died and then I came back to life and there was this amazing story. And don't try and make it somebody else's story. Now, there is a really significant reason for this. I am really inspired when I hear amazing testimonies of, you know, some supernatural event taking place and rocking someone's world. But that's not my experience. And that actually doesn't speak to my experience. But someone who's actually had an average kind of journey of faith, they've kind of gone through, maybe they grew up going to church and then had some things happen and then someone came along or something happened or an event took place, I can actually connect with that. Your story is the story that God determined for you to have. So when you're thinking about sharing your story, you don't need to make it anything other than the story that you have, because your story has power. And for the right person at the right time, the Holy Spirit will use what you have experienced to help someone else along in their journey of faith. A lot of the time we seem to feel the need to make it more significant. We kind of feel like, you know what, I've got a fairly, you know, standard story. It's your story. Just let it be your story. Then it says, but do this with gentleness and respect. There is absolutely something to be said for how we share our story with people who are exploring and wanting to know more about who Jesus is. But be considerate of who you're talking to. Be considerate of what you know about their story. Be considerate of their background. Be considerate of how they might receive what you have to share. Don't change it. Don't be like, you know, I'm not going to go there, but just be aware. Don't ram it down their throats. We all know or hear of stories where that's kind of happened. When someone maybe asks you to share and they might get to the point where they've had enough and they kind of make it clear with their body language, all right, great, fantastic, be considerate of that. You don't have to get through the whole thing in that moment. Do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. And that's bring conviction. It's actually not your job in sharing your story to convict the other person to follow Jesus. The Spirit will use what you share to bring conviction. It's not your, you don't have to think about getting it perfect so that you get to this crescendo and like the angels are appearing in the sky and it's like, and then, you know, the clouds part and all this happens and then you get the perfect line. It's like, zing, yeah, I got them. Because that ain't going to happen. This isn't Hollywood. Just be considerate. Share what you have to share and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. And then, unfortunately, I'd love to take this bit out. I think that's the next one. Yeah. So keep a clear conscience. You can only control the sharing. You can only control what you share. You can't control the reaction. You can't control whether they believe you. You can't control the other things. Because unfortunately, there will be times when you go, God, I shared my story, and then they got really angry at me. Because it says, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. But the reality is that you can share your story or you can live the Christian faith in the best way that you possibly could, and there will still be people who will lay accusations against you, who will call you names, who will suggest there are truths to you that are not accurate. It's going to happen. You can't worry about that. Leave that to God. God will sort that. You just share with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience for yourself. You don't need to be worried. You know you've done it the right way. You don't have to know when to be prepared for the how. You don't have to know when that friend's going to come and talk to you. You don't have to know when your child's going to ask, hey, so why do we go to church? You don't have to know when your work colleague's going to go, so I've got these things going on. I know you have faith. Why? You don't need to know when to be prepared for the how. All you need is some intentionality to say, I'm going to learn the how. I'm going to actually be prepared. I'm going to think through my story and be prepared so that if someone was to ask, oh, I'm ready. I've got a script. No, probably not that. But I'm ready to go. I can do it. I've got some simple ways to express it. Now, for those of you who might sit in there going, that sounds great. What do I do? This is where that other sheet of paper on your seat comes in handy. So pick it up for me. It's this one. One of them says, discover your faith story. The other side has, share your faith story. This is a very, very simple activity that I was taught. Actually, it's how I started Bible college. The very first activity they had us do when I started Bible college was this Discover Your Faith story. It was just called Discover Your Testimony, but I've changed it to fit our language. And it's really quite simple. You know post-it notes? Great, go to the shops and get four colours of post-it notes. Okay, doesn't matter what colours, they don't have to symbolise a particular thing. They just need to be different colours. That is definitely better. Or use four different coloured pens. If you've got lots of coloured pens at home, maybe you don't need the post-it notes. You just get some scraps of paper, get four different coloured pens. Okay? Step one, take one colour of post-it note, and for 2 minutes, yes, the time is important because you could sit there all day and do this. Okay? For 2 minutes, with one post-it note or one bit of scrap paper per name, just write down the names of everyone who's had a role in your faith journey. Just the name. You don't need to go to the story. You don't need to do all the details. It's just, okay, Grandma, Dad, Graham Johnston, Kay Pelican, all the different people that have played a role in your life. And just write those names down. Don't need to order anything right now. Just write them down. Then step two, take another coloured post-it note. Reset your timer. Go through and write down all the important places. Subiaco Church, Wembley Church, Albany Church of Christ. Nanarup, Albany in general. Maybe it's other camps that you've been on. You know, key places that have played a role in your faith journey, not just coming to faith, but even since then, where you know that God has been active in and through that place. Then step three, take your third color. Write down all the key events. My baptism. Different places and events and things that have happened in your life. Just write them down. 2 minutes. You'll actually be surprised. 2 minutes is a really long time when you're just putting one word or one simple statement per page. And you kind of do a heap for like a minute and go, oh, I've still got 30 seconds. How did that happen? Then finally, step four, take the final color and put down all the pain points. Add the pain points, all the different things that have happened in your life where you've then been able to see. And you, even if you're not sure if it's actually part of your story, put it down, write it there. You've got a chance to come back in a moment and, you know, sort of go through and say, actually, that's got nothing to do with my story. So put it down, get it on paper, use this time. Then what you want to do is take those post-it notes and you want to make a chronological story. So get a big, big piece of paper, or maybe on your dining table, or maybe a big office desk that you've got. And lay out the post-it notes in chronological order from start to finish. As you go, you might be triggered for different people. Oh, actually, that person. I forgot to add that person. Oh, yeah, that event that happened because I was catching up with so-and-so. And actually put it out. And in doing so, you have actually mapped out your faith story. And you might even take a picture of that, or you might sort of look over it. And that gives you... Now, if you were literally... And this is what they had us do at Bible College. They had each of us then take our story, our chronology, and we had to share for 2 to 3 hours. I'm not expecting you to do that. But actually, once I had that whole chronology sitting out in front of me, that actually wasn't that hard, because each person, each place, each event, each pain point, that all brought to mind different things, different aspects, different stories that I could share. And then when I'm thinking, when I'm talking with someone, I can actually remember back now to that person or that place or that name, and it brings forward for me what I share in that context. So then, turn it around. How do you then share that story in less than 3 hours? Well, you know, you're probably like, that's not too hard. Well, there's actually a few simple ways. You'll notice now that I cheated. I actually did this at the start. My first sort of 3 minutes, I picked three people from my story and just shared a little bit about how each of those people played a role in my life story. And it only took 3 to 5 minutes. So I probably could have taken 15 if I just extended those stories a little bit. You could take 3 to 5 places. You could just share 3 to 5 events. You could share 3 to 5 pain points. Or you could share 3 to 5, a mix of those things. And any one of those is going to help you share the reason for your hope in 3 to 15 minutes. If you've got a bit long, you're sitting down over coffee, you could dig into more. You're not going to carry this chronology around with you. The intentionality is actually sitting down and putting it down on paper and actually thinking it through. And then having those names and pain points and places as a way that can come to mind. And then a fifth way to do this is just to share the chronology, the story. Now, I've got it here as a 10-minute testimony. It can be even more than that, because again, when you've got them all out in front of you, you'll actually find it brings forward enough information to share quite a significant story. Now, I've done this activity in every church that I've been in since I learned it, because it's changed the way that I'm ready to share my story. And so I'd love for you to take this, take it home with you, maybe do this in the next week or month or year, or find a time and just map it out for yourself, because it will help you be prepared. So that if someone was to come and say to you, hey, I want to follow Jesus, why do you follow Jesus? Once you picked yourself up off the ground that someone actually asked you about that, you're ready to go. Another very quick one is just have in mind, and you might use this or you might have something else, have an elevator pitch. Have a 15-second version of your story. It's like, it's the idea of you got in at the ground floor of Central Park in the city, and you're going to be in the lift until you get to the top, and they say, hey, so why are you a Christian? And you know at the top you're going to get off and go your separate ways. Just have a really quick, simple answer, because not everybody wants you to give the 10 to 15 minute story when they just ask you that question. A really simple way to do that is to just do a before and after. So before I knew Jesus, I had X, Y, Z going on in my life. I found myself in this place that was really difficult. I met Jesus, he changed my life, and then since then I've yah. Simple, something about what your life was like before you met Jesus, what's life been like since then? Having in place something so you're ready. You do not need to know when it's going to be happening to be prepared with what you would share. So be ready. Always be prepared to share the reason for the hope that you profess. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for each person here and the story that they have, the story that is still being written, the story of how and when you impacted their life. Lord, for those who might be exploring, for those who may not have come to that place where they've accepted you, I just pray that you'd be stirring in their hearts what it is that you have for them, what it is that you've done for them, and the life that you have that you're calling them to. Lord, for those of us who have received you, who have come to know who you are, and we want to follow you, I pray that you'd help us to be prepared, to have a sense of what our story is and how we can share that story. Not anything more, not anything grandiose, nothing beyond what actually happened. But to just be prepared to share with those who might happen to ask us, here's why I know Jesus is real. Help us to be prepared. And then we pray for opportunities. We pray that you would surprise us. We pray that friends would come and ask us questions, and that you, through your Spirit, would help us answer. And then we would then let you do what only you can do. We thank you that we can be back together. We pray that you'd bless us as we come to the end of this series. And we look forward to what you're bringing into the life of this church. Praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.